Catching on to me as a stand-in for any number of things they hated. The places where I sold my games, talked with friends, or even just looked at cute cat videos were suddenly awash in pictures of mutilated bodies, images of horrible violence, and threats to do these things and worse to me. My home address and phone number were discovered and distributed, leading to 5 a.m. phone calls from strangers detailing the ways they planned to rape me and people bragging about leaving dead animals in my mailbox. Nude photos of me were dug up, printed out, jizzed on by strangers, and mailed to colleagues, friends, and family. So, why me? I was an unconventional game developer. I'm a queer, feminine person in an industry still struggling to handle fictional women made of pixels, let alone flesh-and-blood ones who can say no. And I was more interested in making games about depression and comedy than the more commercial ones that come to mind when you think of video games. I am outspoken and ambitious, and at the time, I was one of independent gaming's rising stars during a time when the industry and geek culture at large were experiencing an identity crisis. There were more diverse players, developers, and games than ever before, and a loud, irrational minority saw this as an invasion and attacked anyone they saw as a witch to burn. As it turned out, when I cut my axe off for good, I was basically sitting in a black robe and wide-brimmed pointed hat on top of a pile of kindling. The spark was an insinuation that I had slept with a game journalist for a positive review of my game. That accusation turned what would have been a few horrible weeks for me into a cascade that shook my entire industry before developing into a full-on culture war. Somehow, the fact that the game reviewer had never actually reviewed my game didn't come up. After the release of the manifesto, the witch hunt spread across every social media networking platform in a matter of hours and escalated from there. Using the same techniques that are used to spread hoaxes or viral in-jokes, the mob began running coordinated operations with the goal of destroying my life from every possible angle while rebranding their abuse as a crusade for ethics in games journalism to attract new members and obfuscate the repugnant behavior by disguising it as a consumer revolt. This phenomenon wasn't unfamiliar to me. The internet was my home turf, and witch hunts like these were regular occurrences even before everyone and their grandmother signed up for Facebook. I knew it would be vicious, as thousands of strangers attacked my life from every angle they could, and that everything from jokes I had made years ago to patently made-up information was fair game. I also knew it would last maybe 2 weeks and then fade away like everything else that goes viral. Online mobs tend to be equal parts vicious and erratic. I couldn't possibly have been more wrong. It was just beginning. My personal disaster metastasized into the phenomenon known as Gamergate, a new front in the full-blown culture war over the heart and soul of the internet itself. It spread far and wide, with the Canadian Prime Minister, geek legends like Joss Whedon, and the U.S. House of Representatives taking my side against a conglomerate of fringe lunatics including literal neo-Nazis, pro-rape activists, yes, they exist, and washed-up celebrities like the guy who played Jane on Firefly. Law & Order SVU even aired a ripped-from-the-headlines episode based on my story. Online media institutions like Gawker started down a path that would land them in bankruptcy, while the reactionary neoconservative tabloid Breitbart seized the opportunity to double its audience and build careers by abusing me and anyone like me. Why would anyone possibly care so much about a shitty breakup between two nerds? Gamergate wasn't really about video games at all, so much as it was a flashpoint for radicalized online hatred that had a long list of targets before and after my name was added to it. The movement helped solidify the growing connections between online white supremacist movements, misogynist nerds, conspiracy theorists, and dispassionate hoaxers who derive a sense of power from disseminating disinformation. This patchwork of Thanksgiving-ruining racist uncles might look and sound like a bad joke, but they became a real force behind giving Donald Trump the keys to the White House. Online abuse is by no means uncommon and can affect just about anyone for any reason, including totally normal people minding their own business. However, just because it can happen to anyone doesn't mean that it strikes totally at random. The less you look and sound like a 1950s sitcom dad, the more likely it is that you'll find yourself where I did, having your life torn apart by neo-Nazis. But that isn't the end of my story. Everything I have, everything good in my life, I owe to the internet's ability to empower people like me, people who wouldn't have a voice without it. All the garbage that is thrown at us is enabled by this broken machine, yet I firmly believe that the internet is all.